We have started in a new series on the Beatitudes, and I told you last week I was going to do this, but every week during this series, I'm going to have a different person or a couple of different people come up and read the Beatitudes for us, because I want, by the end of this study, I want us to have heard them every single week, if not once, several times. And so here's what we're going to do for the Beatitude that we look at and study for that day. We will all say together as a church, and then the rest of it will be read by one of the readers. And so this morning, I have Rylan Henry and Christian Pratt are going to come and read. Two of our sixth graders, new in the youth group now, because sixth grade is now part of the youth. And I'm looking forward to them reading. You will see your cue when it's your time to jump in and read. But I've got a request for you as a church. And that is, at the end of their time of reading, I know you're going to appreciate the job they do. I know you're going to be thrilled by that. And one instinct, and a good instinct, is to applaud. But what I'm going to ask you to do is, this morning and for all of these mornings, with different readers that come up and read, if you appreciate the work they do, if you appreciate the message of the text, let me invite you, instead of applause, let's say amen to this. So let me encourage you to join us in that, because what they're doing is not a performance, but it is a leading us in the Word, and we're going to appreciate you guys doing that. So jump up and speak up when it's your turn, church.
Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said,
"Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy.
Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you."
So we're a little more than a month into 2018, and as happens every year, at the end of the year, we start to see and hear all kinds of year-end lists. All kinds of lists show up on the news and on the radio and online. Best-selling books of 2017, most Googled words of 2017, highest grossing movies of 2017, most watched TV shows of 2017, most popular memes of 2017. By the way, the romper for men came in at number 6 on most popular memes. Let's show that. Number 1 in my book. So, in that vein, I thought we would do a little quiz as we start out this morning. And these are all sort of money related and how much people earned over 2017. And you're going to answer silently, but you can press the invisible buzzer at your pew if you want to, if that helps you participate. So, here we go. The first one is this: top earning actresses for 2017. And here are the top 5 earning actresses. Now, in your mind, I want you to answer who you think is top of that list. You got your answer? You ready to lock it in? Okay, let's show them. Top of the list, Emma Stone, $26 million. There's maybe a few people in here like, I don't really know many of those people on the list. Let's go to the next one. Top earning actors for 2017. Got your answer? Let's go to the next one. Mark Wahlberg, 68 million. Anyone notice the slight disparity between the men and the women, like three times more going on there? Okay, let's go to the next one. Top musicians or musical acts of 2017. Drake, Sean, Diddy, Combs, as those of us who are his friends call him. Weeknd, Beyonce, Coldplay. You got your answer? All right, let's show them. Sean Diddy Combs, 130 million in 2017. Not a bad year. Eddie Creighton, by the way, since you are such a big Justin Bieber fan, I thought I'd let you know, number 7 on the list. Number 7 at 83.5 million. Okay, we got one more. Super Bowl is tonight, as Craig alluded to and I've alluded to. So I thought I would show you top 5 earning athletes of 2017. Now, interestingly, no American football players on this list. A few soccer players or football if you're from other parts of the world. Okay, anyone got a guess as to the top? You got it locked in? Let's show them. Ronaldo, 93 million. LeBron. Now, a lot of this is endorsements, not just what they make for playing the game. Okay, so I want to tell you a few different numbers before we come back to the text. This year, or in 2017, the world's economy grew by $9.2 trillion. Of that $9.2 trillion, 82% of the gain went to the top 1%. And 3.7 billion saw no increase. In our country, the top 1% owns about 38% of the wealth, about 3 million people out of 300 million. I read a couple of years ago a statistic that said in Russia, 110 people own 35% of the wealth. 110 own 35% of the wealth. Good news for those who look at global poverty rates is that the global poverty rate is actually on decline, and more people are coming out of poverty. But that said, about 3 billion people in our world live on less than $2.50 a day. And about 1.3 billion live on less than $1.25 a day. And statistics would say that about 1 billion children live in poverty. Now, some of you may be thinking, you know, those first lists were a lot more enjoyable than the second list that you read to us. Go back to some of those best of lists. Those were a lot more fun. Why did you do this? Well, here's my hunch. If you polled the average person on the street, most anywhere in the world, not just in the United States, and you asked them to complete this sentence, blessed are blank. Chances are the way that they would fill in that blank would be with the type of people that showed up in the top 5 list. Would anyone say, blessed are those who make less than $2.50 a day? Blessed are those who are living in abject poverty. The kind of people that would make someone's answer, would be a part of someone's answer, are the kind of people whose name is mentioned in a list. That they're not just a number or a statistic in a massive sea of humanity. The type of people who would make that answer, who would be a part of the blessed are answer, are the type of people who are in the category of the most and not the least. And through the ages, if you were to ask people, Who is blessed by God? The answer that comes back would repeatedly be connected to wealth and riches and financial success and your stuff. At the top of the historical list, when people count their many blessings and name them one by one, you're going to get all the money. You're not going to get people in poverty. And if you flip through the channels every once in a while, then you'll notice that even today in some Christian circles, and especially as the gospel is sometimes preached on TV, people still use similar language. What does it look like to be blessed by God? And the answer still comes back: stuff, money. If you have the right kind of faith, then you're favored by God. And who doesn't want to be favored by God? I want to be favored by God. Do you want to be favored by God? What does it look like to be favored by God? The answer too often comes back: stuff and money. Which is why Jesus' opening declaration of blessing would not have just perked up the ears of the original hearers. It would have blown their minds. And I can't help but think, if we have ears to hear, it should blow our minds too. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And the crowd says, who? Who? Now, it's important to understand, when Jesus talks about the poor in spirit, he's not just talking about a state of mind or status of heart, although that can be a part of it, and we'll come back to that. But he's talking about people who are poor in spirit because they are poor. Literally, physically, materially poor. We've got historical records where those two phrases, poor in spirit and poor, are used interchangeably. And we've also got it in the Gospels. Because you may be familiar that Luke describes this sermon that Jesus preaches, or one just like it. It's hard to tell. Are they describing the exact same sermon from a different angle or a different sermon? But in Luke's gospel, certain things are left off. So in Luke 6:20, Jesus doesn't add "in spirit." He just leaves it short and to the point. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. And James, the brother of Jesus, seems to be referencing this same teaching in James 2:5 when he says, "Has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised for those who love him?" You may remember Jesus' very first sermon from Luke 4 is Jesus reading from the prophet Isaiah and saying, "This prophecy today is being fulfilled in your midst." And the opening lines of that sermon is this: "The Spirit of the Lord is on me." And how do you know? Because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, and the prisoner, and the blind, and the oppressed. And we might say, well, doesn't everyone need the good news? To which the answer is, absolutely. And we also get the message over and over in Scripture, God doesn't show favoritism. But here's the thing, the world does. Repeatedly, the world does. It has its favorites, and the favorites show up in those top five lists, not in the bottom masses kinds of lists. And it's not just the world. In fact, James 2, in that same conversation, is confronting the church, because the church too often, sometimes without even thinking about it, can also privilege the haves and push down or push out the have-nots. And so James is saying, boy, you better not show favoritism. Because our God is a God who lifts up and elevates the poor and the widow and the orphan and the foreigner and all kinds of folks who are vulnerable and in need and oppressed. God keeps working to balance the scales of justice and give out compassion and care for those who are most vulnerable. But what's more, Jesus says, is God is pouring out blessings. Blessings for the poor, just like He does for all the other groups of vulnerable. Good news, blessed are you. You have reason to rejoice, you who are poor in spirit, for the kingdom of heaven is yours. Now, that's another phrase that it's important that we understand what Jesus is talking about. Matthew likes the phrase kingdom of heaven, and he uses it a lot. When Luke tells the same stories, he usually says kingdom of God instead of kingdom of heaven. But they're referencing the same thing. The kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God is not just another way of saying heaven, as in the place you go when you die. Throughout the Gospels, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven is described not just as a future promise, but it is a present reality. It is something that's happening now, that's breaking out now, that can be experienced now. The kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God is God's rule and God's reign and God's life-changing, world-changing ways that are breaking out among us whenever we surrender ourselves to God, which is why Jesus, in the next chapter in Matthew, encourages us to pray that prayer. In the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Don't just take us out of this world to a better world. We're praying now for God's world to invade this world, for God's reign to rule over all our lives and all of our interactions. We're praying for a different world now until God brings healing and wholeness to this world in the end. And Jesus says, theirs is the kingdom. It's present tense. It's now. The kingdom is now. The hope is now. The blessings is now. They're now. God is close to your heart, and you can be close to God's heart. You can know what full reliance means. You can know what utter dependence means. You can know what a life sustained by grace is all about. Now, something would be off in this conversation if we spent all of our time this morning talking about the poor without recognizing our need to deepen our heart for the poor. Because one of the things that we keep seeing as we read through Scripture is God is close to those who are in need. That God is continually working to help those who are in need. And if we want to be close to God, and if we want to be more like God, if we want to be more like Jesus, then we have a heart for those that God loves. We have a heart for those whom Jesus loves. We can't claim to love the God whom we haven't seen, 1 John tells us, if we don't love and care for our brothers and sisters in need that we can see. We have to love differently and serve differently and act differently. Isaiah 58:6 says this, is not this the kind of fasting, the kind of worship I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter, when you see the naked to clothe them, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood? Deeper love, greater generosity, regular help, new eyes to see those in need, not as a burden. Jesus has a different word. Blessed. What would happen if we made that switch in the way we see? Not a burden, blessed. A few years ago, a church in London called Holy Trinity Brompton was putting on a big worship event. And they rented out the Royal Albert Hall, and they had more people sign up than they were expecting, which meant they didn't have enough seats unless they did something a little unprecedented. Unless they got access to the boxes like those who are owned by the royals. And so they put in a request to Buckingham Palace. Can we have access to the royal boxes, the kind that are saved for the royals and visiting dignitaries and people like presidents from other nations and prime ministers and these kinds of folks? And Buckingham Palace graciously responded and said, yes, you can have access to our box, but here's what we ask. You use that for your most esteemed guests. So the church said, got it, we'll do it. They had their event, they used the boxes, and afterward they sent a message back to the Queen in Buckingham Palace, and they thanked them for their generosity, and they said, we indeed used the boxes for our most honored guest. There was a group of homeless people who wanted to attend the event, and we thought there was no better place to put them than in those places of honor. Isn't that what Jesus says? If you have a meal, Jesus says, you don't just invite the kind of people who will turn around and invite you back. You don't just invite the people that help you climb the social ladder. You invite the kind of people who cannot pay you back. The kind of people that normally don't get these kinds of invitations. You invite the outcast. You invite the forgotten. You invite the poor. And you host them as your special guests. As Christians, we're called to look at people through the eyes of God, not just through the eyes of humanity. We see everyone's worth and dignity, everyone's value, but there is more here. Because Jesus says, I want you to also see the wisdom of the poor and learn from the way of the poor. I don't know everyone's status in here. I'm guessing not many of us would qualify or be close to qualifying as the poor. But every one of us can grow in our poverty of spirit. Because here's the thing, when we are full of ourselves, we are often too full for God. Poverty of spirit means removing the pretense of self-sufficiency. This idea that we can do it on our own, and we can make it on our own, and we have done it on our own, and we've made it on our own. I would remind you the Beatitudes aren't commands, they are proclamations of blessings. Jesus doesn't command us to be poor or poor in spirit. What Jesus does is say, let me tell you where greater happiness is found, where richer blessings are found. It is not where most people are looking, in the top five lists, in the greatest list. Real blessings are found among those who are poor in spirit, who are dependent. Deeper blessings are experienced in a life where we remember, like the old hymn Rock of Ages says, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Naked, come to thee for dress. Helpless, look to thee for grace. And so that's my encouragement to you, that you humble yourself, that you empty yourself, that you continue to recognize that all we have and all we are is nothing without what God gives. And it is He that lifts us up.